wasn't recording. And I'd clicked it as the mouse disconnected. Son of a bitch. Now we have to talk about tampons again for 10 minutes, Sean.
Fucking tampon Tim.
Tampon fucking Tim. So welcome back to Talking Pollocks again. So just to recap, Sean's here.
Hi everyone.
We've just done, 43 minutes of recording for Talking Pollocks?
No, only 13. We started at half past.
Oh, we started at half past a bit. I saw we started this episode. My bad. So 13 minutes of Talking Pollocks recording. I looked over to the recording to check how we were doing. And as it turns out,
it wasn't recording.
Record.
Great.
So welcome back. Sean, how are you?
Yeah, I'm wonderful, thank you. How are you?
Are you still as good as you were 13 minutes ago?
Maybe not quite as wonderful as I was 13 minutes ago.
So, welcome back to Talking Pollocks, episode 9.
It is 9, yes!
I got it right? Okay, I really should make a note that next time, I promise, I will research what episode number we're on, okay? I promise, that is my promise.
Don't just come in blind.
Yeah, I know. Apologies there was no podcast last week. For those of you who don't know and who aren't following us on Twitch and Discord and everything like that, we're moving.
Yeah.
We're moving house.
Talking Pollocks is moving home.
And we've been planning it for a while, and we're living in boxes at the moment. The recording might sound a little bit echoey because the studio is basically empty with the exception of the recording equipment right now.
And the boxes.
Yes. We're moving into a much smaller studio as well. So fingers crossed everything still works the way that it should.
And the sound quality should be better because the room is smaller.
And we have brick on our new house as well, something we don't have currently. We live in a plastic. We're not homeless, we just live in a plastic house.
Yeah, the house has PVC.
We'll share some things in Discord, okay? We'll explain. As it's a summer recess and there isn't really much going on in the Commons in UK politics right now, we thought we'd do a special again. What has Labour done so far since it took office? Generally a bit shit.
Yeah, allegedly they've been a bit shit. But, you know, that's not for us to judge. Well, it is for us to judge. We're the electorate.
Yeah.
So, I can judge that.
So, truth bomb coming at you right now. Contrary to popular opinion, Criff did not vote Labour.
No. Well, why is that popular opinion? Do people believe you voted Labour?
I think some of my opinions that were coming out on the specials of the podcast, some people were saying that I was going to vote Labour. Because I haven't revealed who I voted for, right? Sean has. I have.
I haven't.
You have. On a previous podcast. On Talking Pollocks Live.
I didn't.
You didn't?
No.
I'm sure you
did. I've not said who I voted for.
No.
And I don't plan on it.
No. I mean, you've made it fairly clear, I think.
No. I felt like I... it's clear that I didn't vote Labour.
No?
I think that's clear.
No? Okay. No, I didn't vote Labour. And I'm kind of fucking glad I didn't, to be honest.
Yeah, no one can pin any of this shit on us.
Yeah, I mean, they've been in office for 50-ish days now, haven't they?
Yeah.
And they haven't really done anything apart from take some money away from the elderly.
They've got rid of a lot of stuff, yeah. I was writing some notes for this episode. Going through it, they seem to have taken stuff away, which seems to have riled some feathers, understandably, because people don't like having stuff taken away.
No, I didn't think so.
There has been one thing generally overriding this summer recess. And that's Labour continuing to bash on about how it's been the worst inheritance ever.
I know. I've been so busy at work. I've been so busy fitting Mum's kitchen. Pics in Discord, by the way. That I haven't really been keeping up with the news as much as I have been, which is why we didn't do the podcast last week. We just didn't have the time. But I have heard this continually.
Yeah.
When when the radio's on in the car and it's, Newsbeat or whatever it is comes on. It's been in the cycle. Do you know what I mean?
Like you could remix Keir Starmer's speech to make it sound like an iPhone launch.
It's the worst inheritance ever. It was a bit like, can you remember the remix that they did of Rishi? I've scrapped it. I've scrapped it. I've scrapped it. Yeah, that was a good one.
But yeah, so this worst inheritance ever, going back to their fiscal event of £22 billion black hole.
Which, I'm sorry, you can't tell me that they didn't fucking know about this, right?
No.
The shadow fucking chancellor, you cannot tell me she didn't know.
No, no, she will have known. She will have known. The figures have not changed that much in
and
a month.
And if the, what is it, the OBS?
OBR.
If the OBR got it that fucking wrong,
then there's something wrong with them.
Then there's something wrong with them. And that is a public body that either A, shouldn't fucking exist.
But the government relies on.
The government shouldn't be relying on, because it's not a reliable source of information.
There's something there, but part of that, the thing that frustrates me is, okay, this doesn't account for all of the £22 billion that they're claiming, but a big portion of that will be these multi-billion pound pay deals that they are...
Rishi called them? The union paymaster.
To their paymasters. These multi-billion pound pay deals that were designed to stop...
Strikes,
right? And then they announced these pay deals. And they were like, this is fantastic news. Woo, let's all party. Oh, no, we're not allowed to party. Remember, it's Downing Street.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It looks good on Wes Streeting to come in and sort out the junior doctor strike. And the optics of that are very good.
Yes.
He's got the doctors back to work. But what was announced the very next day?
More strikes.
More fucking strikes.
But... And you say it looks good. It all, you know, the previous government could have given them shitloads of money and not costed it.
But it was fully funded and costed, Sean.
These pay deals were not in their manifesto.
We thoroughly reviewed every manifesto before the election, and it said many times, and so did Keir and everybody else, they said it's fully funded, fully costed.
Yeah.
So now all they're doing now, much like if the Tories had got in, is weaseling their way out of that fully funded, fully costed.
That is essentially what it is, isn't it? Paving the way for tax hikes and spending cuts left, right.
I mean, he came out and did a little, didn't he? He came out and did a little speech yesterday.
Oh, in the Rose Garden. In he's trying to be American.
He is, yeah. Couldn't help but notice a new slogan, Sean.
Yeah.
Would you care to guess what this was?
Is this the one that was on his podium
while he was talking?
And it was fixing the foundations.
Of what?
Just the foundations.
Very broad. Like fixing the foundations of Britain, of France, of Germany? Like, what?
Well, he's going to have to start with of the buildings that have collapsed from the rack concrete.
Is that what he was talking about?
It must have been. That's the only thing that I could think
of. Makes sense. I mean, it would have made... You could have built a building out of Aero chocolate bars and it would have been more structurally sound than if you'd have used that concrete. I don't know if you can actually... I feel conscious now. I know people from America listen and we know that you're listening. Hello. Thank you. We love
Hi,
you.
Everyone.
I'm not sure that you'll know what an Aero bar is.
Yeah, it's chocolate bar. They're in America. Of course they're
Are they in America?
Of course they're in America.
They might have a different name.
No.
I feel like they might have a different name. Oh, okay. So, actually, there's a little bit of history here. Sorry, we're going a bit off topic.
Oh.
So, it's a well-known treat in the UK as well as in Canada. But in the United States, it remains unknown.
Oh, it
that
was made...
That almost wasn't the case. Back in the late 1980s...
Why are we talking about
They did release in the US an Aero chocolate bar. The US release of Aero actually took place, however, in 1993.
Yeah, and it wasn't very successful, so they scrapped it.
They briefly sold the Aero bar for US market, it's relatively unknown.
Yeah, it's, but, you know, they'll be aware of it. We're in a global economy nowadays.
Yeah, and I like Aeros. you can get a mint one, which is fucking amazing. Anyway...
Getting away from the confectionery.
Yes, I just feel like he's like a cowboy builder, right? And he's fucking strolled in, right? My name's Keir. I'm your contractor.
He's quite well spoken, I would say.
He is. What you want to do with that is you want to fix the foundations, yeah.
Yeah.
No mention of how much that's going to cost.
Or what it is.
We're going to find that out in October.
Yeah.
In Le Budget.
In Le Budget. Which the chance...
I feel like he is a dodgy builder that doesn't want to give you the price until he's given you all this shit news. Like...
Well, they have started by giving us some economic policy.
Right.
So the very first thing that they announced in their fiscal statement, after they said about this 22 billion,
it wasn't even a mini budget. It was just a little statement.
It was a fiscal statement.
And basically, what they said was, "Old people, yours is too warm."
Yeah, essentially, basically, yeah, you can afford heating.
You can afford heating. It's not like the price cap's going to go up in the winter. Oh wait,
yeah. So that was it. They removed winter fuel payments for pensioners who aren't on. One of three means tested benefits.
Okay, and those benefits are? Pump quiz, go.
Pension credit.
Ding.
That is literally the only one I know.
Is that the only one you know? You got one out of three, Sean.
Fuck.
I can't remember the last one, though, so it was a pretty shit quiz.
Yeah, it's not good, is it?
So let's just, what is, so let's have a look here. So universal credit, pension credit, housing benefit, council tax support, tax credits, income-based job seekers allowance, income-related employment and support allowance, and income support are all means-tested benefits.
Yes, but we're talking about pensioners.
Yes, I know, but they might be in receipt of council tax support, housing benefit and pension credit.
Which is those three.
Yeah. But they might also receive tax credits, pensioners, tax credits. Pensioners can have children too.
No, they wouldn't receive them.
They wouldn't get income support.
No.
Would they? And housing benefit in Northern Ireland as well, apparently.
See, but this data doesn't apply to Northern Ireland. So
no. But yeah, so the Labour's previously said, yeah, you can afford an extra £300 a year, can't you?
Yeah, basically.
But what we're also going to do is tax your pension.
Well, they haven't announced anything on that just yet.
I mean, that's basically what they said in the election.
Haven't announced.
I think we can all expect that. It's going to be a fucking grim budget.
So they have announced. They have announced that income tax, VAT, and national insurance will not be touched.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't believe him.
Well, that's what they've been saying. They're still saying that even today the Chancellor confirmed that, but she wouldn't rule out any other tax rises. So it looks like capital gains, corporation,
inheritance
taxes. It looks like they're all on the chopping block.
I think they're going to lift the cap on the 5% increase in council tax as well.
Potentially, you might end up looking at more like 10%. Or they might get up to the statutory maximum, which is 21.
They do actually have a little bit of money coming in, Sean.
They do, yes.
In the form of VAT on private schools. Now, if you're an American listener, again, if you're not sure what VAT is, it is value-added tax. Basically, it's the same as your tax system, where you go to the checkout, you buy an item, but then they put your tax on top, right?
But our tax is
already included in the price of the product. So in the UK, a shop can only display an X VAT price.
If it's for trade.
If they say it's X VAT.
If it's only for trade, you can't, under the Consumer Rights Act.
Sectors.
Under the Consumer Rights Act, if you are selling to a consumer, mm-hmm. you have to, by law, display the price with VAT.
Yeah. Which really, because that's the price of pay at the till. And I think if I ever went to America, I would get really confused if I added up. Because I normally add up as I go around.
Yeah, in my head or...
You know, like I make a mental note of roughly how much it is. But if I got there and it was like $5 or $6 more, I'd be like, what the fuck? That would confuse the hell out.
Yeah, it would be very confusing.
But yeah, they've got VAT coming in on private schools.
But
now.
Yeah, so certain things at the moment are exempt from VAT, aren't they, Chris?
Oh yeah, such as women's sanitary products.
Yes, sanitary products.
They're exempt. They're VAT exempt. Yeah. I think
since 2021, when the tampon
prescriptions. Tax, I think prescription medical charges are VAT exempt.
Yeah, you don't pay them.
You know, then there's other things that are 5%, like grocery shopping or food shopping.
No, so food is 0%.
Oh, food's zero, yeah.
Unless it's a luxury item, and then it's full rated.
And we also pay a sugar tax in the UK
also
as well.
Fucking sugar tax.
For my favourite bev, Coca-Cola, have to pay extra for that.
12 pence if you go to McDonald's.
12 pence extra if you were to buy a medium drink from McDonald's. A medium normal Coke, you pay 12 pence.
12 pounds? Jeez!
McDonald's are really struggling against drugs now.
I know they wanted people to stop drinking it, but Christ.
But yeah, so they've got a bit of money coming in from private schools.
Yeah, yes, so I don't know if this is... I understand their justification for putting the VAT on private schools, because initially that will be a lump sum of money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that will be an influx. It will look good for the books. However, in the long run, the children who aren't then going to private schools because their parents can't now afford it are going to have to go into the state system. And you think about how much it costs for a child to go through the state system of education. It's a lot of money. That sort of withdraws the benefit of adding the VAT on.
I think it's a good idea. It's one of the few things that I do agree with. That I think private schools are a luxury. If you can afford to send your child to one of these prestigious institutions, you should be paying for that. It shouldn't be a tax dodge either.
I think it's short-term gain, long-term pain in that one. I don't see it being effective.
You know, okay, but we don't have to pay that on your state schools, but it comes out of all the other taxes that we pay. Those other people are already paying all of those taxes, so they're already funding their child's place, in my opinion.
So why then further tax their education?
Because it's a luxury going to one of those private institutions. They've got far better facilities, more money to spend.
That's what the tens of thousands of pounds per year is.
They get... not better funding, but they can do a lot more than what a normal school would be able to do. Like, for example, my private school that I went to, it didn't close in the summer. A lot of students from Hong Kong came over and did like a sabbatical, like a 3-month stint at the boarding school. So, you know, it made extra money that way. There was also, you know, there was farmland, there was stables, there was all sorts.
I just don't know if...
But that is a luxury to me. Not having to go and sit in a grey box for 8 hours a day is a luxury. And you should pay your tax on that.
For example, they've already paid
So what's the problem with
the state school that they're not using? So they're paying for a system that they're not using.
So what's the problem with sending them to a state school? They're already funding it.
Well, they don't want to send them to a state school.
But why not?
Because
what's
they
the problem
want
with
to.
The state schools?
There might not be a problem with a state school, but they,
but they can afford to send them to a much better school, so they do.
Yeah, but if
that's
you add 20%,
we couldn't afford.
If
to
you
send
add
kids
20%
school.
Onto the cost of private schooling,
okay. So let's pay. So my private right school up. Was £4,685 a term, right? My place at that school was funded by the government. My parents didn't pay for it. Which is something else that private schools have not said anything about, because they don't want to lose the funding for it. Kids in the armed forces, if their parents get posted abroad, for example, my stepfather had to go to Afghanistan. So I was given an 85% funded place to a boarding school. And the other 15% was done by grant, I believe. If not, it was paid by my parents. So there are other ways of getting into a private school. You know, there's no way my parents
have to join
you need a parent in the forces.
You have to have a parent in the forces, and you don't always get choice of where they're posted. They could be posted, you know.
We got sent to Germany.
Swindon.
Yeah.
You know.
It could be Swindon. That'd be really fucking unlucky.
And you end up at a state school in Swindon.
Yeah.
Just because someone joins the military doesn't automatically guarantee a place in a state school, in a private school. What I'm saying is, yes, it might be a luxury to send them there, but in the taxes that they're paying into the education system at the moment, which they're not currently using, so they're not taking any money out of that system... I don't think it's right that then they're taxed further to send their children to a school when they're already being sent to that private school actually benefits the state.
They've got the money to, at the end of the day.
Not everybody does, because it is quite clear that not everybody is going to be able to continue sending their children to school because of the extra £1,000 per term.
Then state school it is. I'm sorry, but... But people need to start paying their way. All these little tax
but the amount
and
the government
that this country has
the amount
need to
the
be
government
closed
is
because we're hemorrhaging money.
What
we're
I'm
hemorrhaging.
Saying is the and nothing that the government is going to do is going to balance the books completely, because
but
the problem is the population is going to continue to expand.
You would say of the previous government the plan was working.
It was working.
but now it's not.
Because they fucking changed it all.
Not in a massive sense in fiscal yet, but we won't know until October.
Obviously, most of it is October, but from what we know so far, or from the figures that we can see that have come out since the election, which obviously when you're talking about the economy, you're talking retrospectively, and therefore we're talking about when the Tories were in government.
Yeah.
Growth was going up, inflation was coming down, things were going in the right direction.
Slowly but surely they were.
It's difficult to say with what they're doing whether the growth that we need as a country, because growth is important, otherwise the system will just freeze up.
Yeah, exactly.
Is it going to bring growth? And that is, they keep saying growth is at the centre of our plan.
But they haven't invested in anything yet.
No, and if anything, or what they're doing is taking stuff away. And while, yes, they may have added VAT to private schools, that's taking away some people's opportunities of going to those schools.
Well, to be honest, they'll have a lot more money to put in the economy then, won't they?
But they won't. But the question is, are they going to be putting that in the economy? Probably not.
Yeah, you make a good point.
Because that people, if they were spending £5,000, we'll just say £5,000 for a round number, if they were spending £5,000 a term, that they're just going to put that in savings now.
Yeah. But they might invest in other things.
Potentially. But
I think what they should do is just put 1% on all house sales.
Well, there is tax on house sales.
There is, yeah, but just put not a permanent tax, but like an emergency tax on house sales. 1%, you'd raise. I think I was listening to what's his name? Jeremy Vine on Radio 2 earlier. And they worked it out, and it would be about 15 billion that we'd raise overnight.
Yeah.
From all buildings, say. Any building that was sold in England.
But again, it doesn't...
Over a one-year period, you'd make billions.
Does not promote growth. No, it doesn't promote growth, to buy the
but it does fill the 22... It does nearly fill the £22 billion black hole that's allegedly been left behind.
And expanded by the Labour government.
And expanded from 20 to 22. I noticed that had crept up.
Well, it's been 22 for a while.
It was 20 originally.
I think they were rounding down in the media.
Yeah, okay.
As far as I can remember, it's been 22 billion. But as I said, a big portion of that is these pay deals.
Yeah.
That weren't planned for.
So, just to run through a few other things now that have been the highlight of Labour's first 50-ish days. Riots, we've done a whole podcast on that. Go back and listen, if not.
Yes, they oversaw the fun riots of August 24.
Yeah, people weren't happy about someone being stabbed in Stockport. They thought it was an asylum seeker. It wasn't. People are stupid, and all the stupid people started throwing bricks at hotels. And then, my absolute favourite thing about this whole story, Sean, is that they all got angry. So there was one guy, right, he posted on Facebook, we should go and smash up this hotel. And then the hotel was smashed up. And he was shocked when he was put in prison for 2 years for telling people to go and fucking smash up a hotel. Now, I'm sorry, regardless of whether you shout at people in the street or you put it on social media, you can't tell people to go and smash up a fucking hotel.
And then be surprised when they go and smash up a hotel.
And then be surprised when it actually fucking happens. Like, I'm sorry, I totally agree wholeheartedly. If you're going to post something stupid like that on the internet, yes, you should feel the same force of the law as if you'd have said it to a massive crowd of people.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, if that is a strong opinion that you don't agree with it, fucking deal with it.
So this comes round to the whole sentencing of following the riots. Because obviously they did settle down quite quickly in the end. It wasn't as widespread as it as anticipated towards the end of the riots. But following that, the sentencing, and one thing I will say is that it certainly did act as a deterrent.
Do you think?
I certainly think so, because people weren't coming out to cause trouble
No.
anymore.
No. I mean, the problem is, though, just moving on from this point, they filled up the prisons again.
Yeah.
So Early Dawn has been activated, hasn't it?
Yeah. Operation. It took me ages to find the fucking name of this operation earlier.
Oh, you should have just asked me. I knew it.
I couldn't remember. I was going through my head, and I was like, Project Early Dawn? That brought up video games. And then I did,
brilliant, yeah.
And then I was like,
Horizon Zero Dawn. No, that's not it.
Is it Operation Zero Dawn?
Zero Dawn is zombies. That's definitely not that.
So I just typed in Prisons Dawn and it came up.
Hey, we've mentioned it on the podcast before. I've got a family member who is a police officer and we were talking about this. And it's a very stressful time to be a police officer.
I can completely understand. So for those who don't know, Project.
Got it, Sean. Right. Just Zen. Woo Sa.
Woo.
Go.
Operation Early Dawn is where prisoners are held in police cells and not taken to the magistrates' courts.
So in other terms, like America, for example, this would be like your county jail is prison. Yeah. But you've also got, I think it's called lockup. In America, is that what they call it?
Yeah.
Which is at a police station. That was what.
Yeah, in cells.
Yeah, that's what we call police custody.
Yeah, so they'll be held in police custody.
Yeah. So rather than being held at an actual jail or a prison, they'll be held at a police station.
Essentially.
In Washington, yeah.
And then as soon as a prison place is available, that's when they're taken to court and sent to prison.
Yes. Now, the problem is with all these extra things happening,
We only have a certain amount of police cells.
We only have a certain amount of police cells. We only have a certain amount of prison places. And we have just had a prison shut due to a radioactive waste as well.
And
didn't someone escape from that prison?
Wandsworth
Prison?
By clinging to the underside of a lorry.
Yeah, also at Wandsworth Prison, there was a female prison officer that was caught having sex with one of the inmates and filming it on her phone.
Yeah.
She pleaded guilty to that.
That was her. There was also a prison sex teacher or something I was reading
about. Yeah, the prison system's fucked. It's so bad.
Complete shambles. But
What they're going to do to make space is they're just going to let people out early.
Yeah, so at the moment, if you're sentenced to jail in the UK, to prison in the UK, you serve 50% in prison and 50% out in the community on license with restrictions and so on. If you break those restrictions, you're back in prison.
It's just like having an ankle bracelet on and stuff like that. Yeah,
so that'd probably be one of your restrictions. Curfews,
yeah.
Not allowed to access the internet, not allowed mobile phone, stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
If you break it, you go back to prison in that 50%.
Yep.
Labor,
I think it's good because it teaches responsibility, right?
Yeah, so Labour are now considering changing this. I don't think the announcement was made. I don't think it's in place just yet. But reducing that so you serve 40% in prison and 60% in the community.
Okay.
So reducing how long people are spending in prisons. Now,
realistically, is that going to work? Is that going to have any effect?
The idea of the licensing is, so the 50% in prison is your punishment. And also the initial parts of your rehabilitation, and then you're in your community is your integration into the community again.
Was there some kind of like national service that we could.
Well, that's what the probation service is there for, so to manage this. But the probation service is totally broken.
Yeah, but like we saw on that interview the other day, why aren't you in work? Well, because I'm an ex-convict.
Yeah.
Or you know, I'm a convicted criminal.
It turns out he was a convicted pedophile.
Some of these
pedophiles.
People, you know, some people do leave prison rehabilitated, but the problem is that they can't get a job.
No.
No one will hire them.
It is a difficult one because as soon as you check that box on a job application that says I've got a criminal conviction, you're basically to the bottom of the pile or disregarded.
It's the same with like me and Sean, we've been applying for lots of houses, but the problem is we have pets, as a lot of you know.
Yeah.
You know, we've had to make some difficult choices in the past. We've had to, you know, sometimes we've had to lie to estate agents. This time round, we've had to, you know, the pets are going to be, we're taking the dog, but some of the pets are going to have to be placed elsewhere. Simply because landlords don't want pets in houses. It breaks our heart. But, you know, at the end of the day, at the moment, Dash does not have a garden.
No.
He is a dog that needs open space, and we're sacrificing a bedroom and quite a lot of space. so Dash can have a garden. And it's, you know, this shouldn't, you shouldn't have to, we shouldn't have to make that sacrifice, but that's just how the system works. And unfortunately, if you do tick that box, if you are a convicted felon, yes, you have made that mistake, but in my opinion, you, and when you leave prison, you've paid your comeuppance, you know, you've been, okay, you've been found guilty by the law, you know, by a judge that, or a jury. You go to prison, you've served your time, you've been rehabilitated. When you come out of prison, you shouldn't, it shouldn't be convicted felon or whatever it is. It's, you know, there should be a tick box of, you know, should they have to go through like a rehabilitation exercise when they leave prison, or, you know, some kind of exam.
The problem
like
is
like a driving test.
The problem here is the government can't be seen to be pumping loads and loads of money into prisons and...
Yeah, no, the optics of it aren't good, are they? Like, nobody likes
because
prisoners.
People don't want you spending their tax on prisoners.
No.
So it is a very difficult, it's a very fine line that the government have to tippy-toe down. And it's been the same for years. And that's why the prison system is in such a state.
Yeah.
But that's then not helped by the state of the court system, the backlogs.
Mm.
But they managed to get the riot cases through like that.
Yeah.
Partly because they all pled guilty, which is handy.
So just the system works swiftly now that they've abolished all lawyers.
That would basically be the case, yeah. And yeah, it's just a difficult one because, yeah, they can't spend money on it, but they need to spend money on it.
Yeah. So, in conclusion then, generally a bit shit, if we're honest.
But
not much good has happened.
In their defence, it has been summer recess. They've not been able to put any legislation forward.
No, they can't really do anything in the House. But
so,
they could have recalled Parliament.
Although there was one thing that I was listening to today.
It's time for Sean's final point.
Did you know that Keir Starmer has met the German Chancellor 10 times in the last 50 days?
That's like...
That's a lot.
That's 20% of his premiership.
Yeah.
So far. Why are we getting so pally with Germany?
This is a difficult thing. So today the government was talking, or Keir was talking about closer ties with the EU. Not rejoining, but
reset, not rejoin.
Yeah. Another one of those slogans. Yeah,
another slogan that he doesn't want.
And... But he seems to be doing it on an individual basis, whereas the problem is he needs to do it with the collective EU, with the EU Council, the EU Parliament, whatever.
Maybe we're trying to like incite Frexit and Jurexit.
Jurexit.
Yeah.
I reckon that...
you know you want to. It definitely didn't cause any problems here.
And then we will start our own little union.
A United Kingdom of sorts.
The Frucamy.
The Frucamy. Oh my God, could you imagine?
France, UK,
we could call
Germany.
It the Axis. And on that note, ladies and gentlemen.
No, Jesus Christ.
It is time to end. Thank you very much for listening. Please do email your feedback and comments to griffandsean@talkingpolitics.com. You can also tweet us at griff_n_sean, I think.
Yes.
On X or Twitter or whatever fucking Elon's deciding to call it now. Also, one final point. I'm glad to get rid of fucking Starlink.
Woo!
Latency on that thing is dog shit. Elon, you're lying. Your satellites suck. Thank you and good night.